Today, I want to introduce a new series that we are calling The Agape Gift. The Agape Gift. And most of you know the word agape, meaning just God's love, unconditional love. It's more than human love. This is beyond. The love that stands no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, this love stands. And it's always there, unconditional love. But actually, what we have done is we are not using the word agape just to mean love, but actually we are using it as an acronym. So each letter will stand for something. And the concept behind this is that when we are bringing gifts to God, when we are bringing gifts to God, is a way of responding to God, is a way of responding to Him. When you give, it should be a way of responding to Him, because easily it can be, when we are giving our gifts to God, it can easily tend to be a thing that we want to receive something from God. I'm giving this to get blessed. I'm giving that to receive more. But actually, we wanted to encourage you guys that it should be a response to what Jesus is doing. When we bring our gifts to God, it should be a response to what He is doing. So today we're going to be looking at the letter A, the first letter there, and we'll be looking at responding to Christ's activity. Responding to Christ's activity. And we'll be reading from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9, verse 10 to 17. So I'll ask you guys to stand, and then we can read scripture together. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then He took them with Him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed Him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to Him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "Give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But He said to His disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke them. Then He gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Let's pray. God, we say thank You for Your beauty. Thank You for Your love, God. And You are great. And we pray, Lord, as we are just learning about responding to Your activity, that Your Spirit would be so present here. In Jesus' name, amen. God is always at work, and He is working now. God is always at work, and He is working now. It's easy to see. You can either see God as very, very far away from you or near. But when we read in Scripture, God is actually both. He is far and near as well. And theologians call this the prominence and the imminence of God. That God is prominent. He looks to be far. I mean, He's transcendent. He looks to be far, but also He is here with us. And God is always at work. And we are looking into this Scripture, and we see Jesus Christ at work. And this Scripture actually tells us of 2 things that were happening. First of all is that Jesus Christ was healing the sick. And second of all, he was proclaiming the kingdom of God. That's why people actually came to Him. Thousands and thousands of people came to Him. Now, before we look into Scripture, I had asked a few people from our community to just tell me of one thing that they have been impacted by through this community, so that we can just kind of like hear what God is doing in people's lives in this community. So I'm just going to read about a couple of stories, probably like things that people have told me. I'll not be mentioning their names, but the first person said, "Flood has brought friends I didn't think they existed. People who can trust, people who you can trust with your kids and household, that is surely God at work." Another, "I have experienced a sense of not being alone, and that whatever we face either in happiness or difficult times, that we have people to share with and praise God for the good times, and also to help pray for the difficult times, and that helps to ease the burden we carry. Another. One thing about our church community has taught me is authentic relationships. From the get-go, when I started in 2012, we would share even the hard things. One would share even the hard things one would be struggling with. And going through at growth groups and not feel judged, but be helped through that. Even seeing people in leadership admit that they are not perfect, but also have their own struggles, has made them not only relatable as leaders, but made me view them as human like I am, and not vice gods as pastors are generally viewed. Because of this, I have been able to be transparent as a leader myself in my field of work, but also to my close friends. Another. One thing Christ has taught and I have experienced is living an authentic Christ-filled life not only affects and changes me, but also those around me, my family being the first. As a man, I firmly believe that there is no other way to bring up a God-fearing and righteous generation other than living it out before my kids and pointing them down the narrow path as I walk it. More stories. One thing that I've experienced that flood is that I can relate to most people I meet. For example, when you ask our neighbor a question on Sundays, the answers they give me, I know that their journey with Christ is not easy, but that all of us are going through it the same way, and this affirms my belief. Being a part of Flood Church community has really been exceptional for me. Through this community, God has taught me to be humble and to be accommodative to people of all characters. I have also been a part of a great family, which I feel welcome to and feels like home. Through the preaching of the word, I've also grown spiritually. The church has taught me that there is no family with a stronghold and an unbreakable bond like community of believers. And Flood Church is the beautiful picture and a clear imagery of that community. I have experienced love, understanding, and diversity of things, cultures, and yet I feel close to everyone and united. This is the family I'm glad I'm a part of here on earth, and I believe in heaven we'll have a Flood hangout and turn up. That's a good one. Flood hangout. Another. What I've experienced through our church is healing a lifelong hurt. It was through a growth group that I was able to share my story, and I was able to come to terms with it. It was through church that I got on the path to heal from abuse, from shame, from pain, even anger. It is my church community that helped me really to begin to deal with those painful things. Another, I have learned that family is not just blood, but the community, and Flood community has become a family and more of a spiritual support, as well as emotional and physical. I have experienced the power of community, and there was a time when I was really down and began questioning God, and I was questioning if my prayers were right prayers. While in this situation of frustration, I experienced God through community, and through this community I have learned that God uses difficult times to show what he is. And the church helped me to navigate my difficult situation, mainly through my growth groups. And I thank God for the community. Just want to read two more because these are powerful to me. There's so many stories I can tell of how God has grown me since I have been a part of Flood. The teaching he has most used often the growth group. I enjoy connecting with God, with people you may not have otherwise had the opportunity to have a personal relationship. I get to see sides of people I don't see often on a Sunday. Two more, and then we'll be done. God is doing great things in our church community. A friend of ours who wasn't really a strong believer started attending church services with us. It is amazing to see what God is doing in their lives as well as ours. To have a place where young adults can experience God's love is so important in this city. I'm so happy to be a part of this community. I feel that God has taught me that healthy marriages are an important aspect of the church, and that we need to come up, and that God has given us the opportunity to be a part of the marriage course, and we have felt encouraged to be a part of this community. And just a few stories to share of people that I asked and what God is doing in their lives through this community. And I know each one of you would have your own stories that you can share, that you have seen God at work in one way or another. But this is just to highlight that God is actually at work. God is at work in our lives. God is at work in our growth groups. God is at work in our families. God is at work. He is at work. And therefore, if we see God to be at work, He demands a response. When God is at work, He demands a response. When God is at work, He demands a response. And looking into the story that we have read, I just want to share that Luke does not really give us enough details, but probably you remember this story from the book of John chapter 6, that actually the person who had the 5 loaves and 2 fish was a small boy. Do you remember that? As a small boy. He is the one that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And just from, just from my experience, I'm saying this is the way to go. Because where I grew up, I would have a big pile of encima and this little tine of relish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yeah, this is my example. I'm like, yes, make the main thing to be the main thing. That's what it is. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking into the story, Jesus Christ has been preaching and He's been healing people. And now He says, you know what? Let's go away. Let's go away. Let's be somewhere else where we can just have like a quiet time. Just you and I, the disciples, chilling and talking. And now they go away. But somehow, somebody hears that Jesus Christ has gone to some other place. So they began telling each other and they followed Him. And the scripture says thousands and thousands of people came there. And Jesus Christ started preaching because actually John says He saw them just like a lost sheep. And He had compassion over them. And He said, you know what, come to Me, I will tell you the good news of the gospel. And Jesus Christ begins to preach and begins to heal people. But it's becoming dark now, and people have been there for so long that they are hungry and they will have no place to stay. And the time comes where the disciple says, okay, Jesus, we know what You're doing. You know what You're doing is great, but these people have to go back. They have to go now. We have to let them go. Because they need food. They need a place to stay. They have to go. And Jesus says to them, He turns to them like, oh, all right, if you see a problem, then you have to sort it out. You see that they're hungry, feed them. Yeah, go ahead and feed them. And if you read this story in the book of John, there's one person, Philip, he says, come on, okay, maybe you don't really understand what's going on. I have to tell you that there are thousands of people here, and that to feed these people, we might have to have wages that are worth 8 months so that we can buy enough food to feed this group of people. But Jesus Christ was not budging. He's like, no, you have to feed them. And they had to look around and they found this boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, great, that's enough. We're going to do work. Bring that. Let the people sit down. They can have some food. We're going to do this. And just looking into this story, and I realize for over 5,000 people, and Jesus Christ, just gets 5 loaves and 2 fish, is that we have to bring our limited gifts to Jesus Christ in order to be used by Him so that we can experience His unlimited grace. We have to bring our limited gifts to God so that they can be used by Him in order for us to experience His unlimited grace. And that's the truth that I want you guys to go with. Bring your limited gifts to Christ to be used by His unlimited grace. When Jesus is at work, He demands a response. He demands a response. And Jesus Christ was at work healing people, healing lives. And He demanded a response that these people would be fed. And He says, you give. You bring that, what you have, and that you give. Because I am at work, I am working, I am proclaiming the good news. And I don't want to lose these people. I want them to really hear the good news. I want them to be healed. So bring your limited gifts, and I will use your limited gifts so you can experience my unlimited grace. You can experience my unlimited grace. Now, when there is the activity of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ is at work, you can either miss it or catch it. You can miss it. You can miss the activity of Christ easily. And one way of missing the activity of Christ is when you look at your gift and feel like it's not enough. It's not enough. You know, I did not have enough for me to give towards what Flood is doing, for me to give towards what's happening there. I did not have enough to give. And because in that way, you see yourself that there will be a time when actually you're going to have enough that you can give. And I found it interesting that the same problem that this boy was experiencing is the same problem that Christ invited him to respond to. Like, he was hungry too. You know, he was also, you know, facing a need. He also had a need of his own. And this just tells us that when we are responding to God, when we are bringing our gifts to God, does not mean we do not have needs. We do have needs. It does not mean like we do not have the need in our lives. Actually, we do. But Christ wants us to bring what we have so that we can experience His unlimited grace. Because our gift, what we have, will always be limited. But when we put it in the hands of God, the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all what we can ask or imagine, He will use it for His glory, and that your gift will even touch many. So easily, you can miss it. You can miss the activity of God by not choosing to participate in what He is doing. You can miss it. And Christ is actually inviting you at the moment. He's inviting you at the moment. And the temptation here is to tell yourself that I am unable. I am unable. I cannot do it. I am unable. But Christ is actually saying, you know, start from where you are. What do you have? Start from where you are now and give it into my hands, and I will increase it to the glory of my name. So you might be feeling that your gift is too small, but bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Him, because He will use your gift for His glory and for His glory alone. Another way that we can miss it is by creating our own activity. We can miss responding to Jesus' activity by creating our own activity. And by this, I mean that sometimes you can see yourself to be the only one that can sort out the problem. To be the only one that can sort it out. And I have to say, I'm so giddy of this. With my family, I send my siblings to school, and with the help of my wife, we've been sending three of my siblings to school. And it has been great to see them grow and to see them go to school. But one of them had finished his secondary school and was about to go into tertiary education. And we had to sit down and be like, hey, so tell me, what do you think you're going to do? And what he told me, I didn't like the idea. I was like, but you know what? You have to look at the marketing side of this thing. And, you know, I say, what if you do this? And what I taught him was to do with numbers and stuff. And really, that's not his strength. But, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm the one who's going to pay for this. You have to do it. And he started doing it, and I could see him struggling a lot. I could see that he was not doing well, and that I became frustrated with that. I and I began shouting and saying, what are you doing? You're not serious. You're not serious with your life. You don't remember where you're coming from. And I began telling him all these things, but it's because I saw that, you know, only me, I'm the one who can sort out his problems, and therefore he has to do it my way. He has to do it my way. And I'm also guilty of this even in ministry. I often tell the people around me, my wife and the staff, that I'm a very action-oriented person. And because I'm a very action-oriented person, I can just keep doing and doing and doing and doing. And I can put myself in a position that I feel like I'm the only one who can bring a solution to whatever problems are there. And it's a challenge when I was reading this that actually God, he is the one who does it. I'm not the Savior. Jesus is. Jesus is the Savior. You know, sometimes you can go into a community and wanting to sort out their problems, and you're bringing, you see they don't have water. You're like, yeah, we need to bring a borehole here. You guys need to have this. But actually, that's not what they need. Maybe they need something else. And you wonder that that is not being sorted out. You wonder that problem is still there, even worse. Because it's easy to create your own activity and not respond to Jesus' activity. We need to respond to his activity. We need to respond to his activity because Christ is at work now in this very moment. Wherever you're working, Christ is at work there. In this community, Christ is actually doing things here, and therefore what we could do is to respond to him, because his activity demands a response, and that we bring our gifts to support that. Respond to Christ's activity. Sometimes responding to the activity of Christ involves not going with what makes sense, but going by the changing faith. Not going by what makes sense, but going by the changing faith. You know, if these guys came to, you know, to this boy and say, hey, give us the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, because Christ actually wants to, you know, to feed everybody here. And that's kind of like a ridiculous idea. Come on, look at how many people are there. And you're saying, you know, just, you know, two fish and 5 loaves will feed everybody. But sometimes, you know, Christ responding to Jesus' activity and supporting his work demands that we don't only go by what makes sense, but actually responding to the faith that will change lives. The faith that will touch lives. The faith that will touch lives, because you only see your gift as just here, but God will use it for his glory and for his glory alone. And therefore, that is trusting that Jesus Christ can do more with your gift than you can. Jesus Christ can do more with your gift than you can, and therefore respond to him. Bring your gifts to him. Sometimes, to support the activity of Christ, involves bringing our limited gifts so that we can experience his unlimited grace. I also want to say, bringing our gifts to God sometimes also involves intentionality and planning. Involves intentionality and planning. You know, when probably a basket of offering was coming, you know, sometimes I do this a lot, you know, it's coming. Oh, it's here. I need to look in my pocket, you know, and give. And there's no like intentionality, no planning whatsoever. I just want to do it, you know, spontaneously and do that. But in order for Jesus Christ to do a miracle and feed the 5,000, somebody had to plan. Isn't it? Somebody had to plan, you know. Among all the people, over 5,000 people, only this boy planned. You know what? I think I'm going to be hungry. I need to pack my lunch. I need to go and pack my lunch, and I'm going to be hungry. And he did, and Christ used it. Christ used it for his glory. And that we just want to encourage you guys that when you're supporting what God is doing, that you could be thoughtful, that you could be thoughtful, that you could plan, that you could be intentional rather than just being spontaneous. Of course, God calls us to spontaneity in so many ways, but also God uses our planning and our intentionality, that he can use that for his glory and for his glory alone. And because this boy planned for his lunch in the end feeds over 5,000 people It feeds over 5,000 people. So yeah, pack your lunch. That's what you guys should go for. Pack your lunch. Jesus is at work. And he is working in this community. Of all the things that we shared, through Pastor Sean, things that are coming, things that are happening, it's just one way to just, for us, just trying to show what God is doing in this community, and that he is at work, and that you guys can actually support the work of God. For us to do our work every month, we're hoping to be raising 5.3 million kwacha, so that we are able to do things that we do in this church, 5.3 million kwacha per month. And, we want to trust together that we can be raising this money every month so that we fund the activity of Jesus Christ in this community. So that we fund the activity of Jesus Christ in this community.